Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Psalm chapter number 19. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. Once you find Psalm 19, I want you to find verse number 7. And then, if you would, I'd like for you to stand with me. Psalm chapter 19, verse number 7 is where we're going to start. And then we're going to go to another passage of Scripture. Psalm 19, verse number 7. And I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Psalm 19, verse number 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Now, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to look at one other verse. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 7. And young people, make sure you're paying attention this way and don't be making noises that would hinder the service. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 7, the Bible says this: "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us to take this simple truth and simple concept of the Bible and make it practical so that we can understand our lives in an everyday fashion. Now, Lord, we want to be better because we've been to church. And Father, forgive us, but sometimes those things that you have made so sweet to us, we tend to forget about that sweetness. Bless us now, please, with thy presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. This morning, I'd like to maybe show you one of the reasons why some things that are sweet in our life tend to go sour. Has something sweet in your life become sour? I think maybe the longer you have been in the right kind of a church, the more the sermon this morning could be of a help to you. There are people that are sitting in this church. You started, your mother gave birth to you, and she then took you to church the very next Sunday. And by the way, moms, as long as you're healthy, that's what you ought to do. Get that baby right into church. But, you know, there are some of you, you were born, and mama gave birth to you, and the very next Sunday, you were in church, and you basically have been going to church through your whole life. And that's good. That's good. And let me tell you something, though. If you, the longer you've been around the good things of God, then you may begin to think, I've seen it all. I've heard it all. I've experienced it all. Well, let me tell you something. Those sweet things that you started with, they're still sweet. They're still sweet. Did you notice in Psalm 19, it began to talk to us about the Word of God? Let me read to you the verse again. This is a description of the Word of God. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." That's talking about the Word of God, the commandments, and it talks about the testimonies and the statutes. All of that speaking of the Word of God. And then it ends up on verse number 10 and says, "More to be desired are they than gold? Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." And God is saying, boy, the Word of God is sweet. It is, it's a sweet and wonderful thing. And it is. Often in the Bible, God will compare the Word of God to food. In 1 Corinthians 5:8, the Word of God is compared to bread. In Ephesians 5:26, the Word of God is compared to water. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, the Word of God is compared to milk. In 1 Corinthians 3:2 is compared to meat. And then in Proverbs 27:7 is compared to honey. And here we see in Psalm chapter 19, verse number 10, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, also, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. I don't know if you like honey. Anybody here, you say, I just don't like honey at all? Maybe one or two, and one in particular I'm looking at. He's kind of weird anyway. So now, anybody here like honey? You like honey? Anybody here have honey for breakfast today in any way, shape, or form? Okay, Tom, you had honey this morning. You like honey? Are you allergic to honey? Where'd you get those socks, man? Tabby, are those yours? Tom, will you help me for a minute? Come up here. And then when you get up here, show everybody your socks. I don't want to humiliate you or anything. So you like honey. And the Bible is compared to honey. Tom, I have some honey here. And this is brand new bottle of honey. I just took the seal off the inside of it. But I'd like for you to take that. And Tom, I want you to, since you like honey, pop the lid. And if you will, just squirt a little of that in your mouth. And I'd like for you to tell me if you like it. Is it coming out? It's sweet? You like it? And you had honey today for breakfast on your toast. Okay, good. So if you'll stand right there, I tell you what, take another little shot. That's good. Same honey that you tasted a moment ago. Oh, good. All right. So the Bible's compared to bread. The Bible's compared to water and milk and meat, and it's compared to honey. Take another little shot if you will. Good. And so you all know, the Bible is the sweetest book ever written. Now, I don't care what you read, and I don't care what you've read. You'll never find anything sweeter than the Word of God. And I want you also to understand, it's a love letter from God to us. And the Bible's sweetness never changes. There's a song about the journey of the Christian. Some of you have heard it. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Now, the journey gets sweeter, but I'm going to guarantee you something. We sing about getting to heaven, and we sing Amazing Grace, and when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let me tell you something. You're going to get there, and it's going to be awesome, but you're going to find out that awesomeness, is that a word? It just keeps getting better and better. The Word of God's that way. Could you take another shot? Still sweet. Yeah. Hey, the Word of God and the things of God are as sweet today as they were 1,000 years ago. Did you know the Word of God never grows stale? But listen to this. Did you hear that verse in Proverbs chapter 27? Listen to this. It says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Huh. Would you take another shot? Well, he's getting tough now. The Bible says the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. That means it begins to get tired of it. Loathe means, actually, it means wanting to toss it to the ground and waste it. It tends to have no more value to that soul. It's no longer tasty. Could you take another shot? It's still sweet, but Tom, was that taste as good as the first one? No. Your taste buds are kind of getting enough of it. Okay, but the illustration's not over. What's happening? Same honey. The honey has not changed. His taste buds have become accustomed to the sweet. Matter of fact, same honey, but it probably does not taste as sweet. Is it as sweet? Oh, yeah. But his taste buds are saying, uh-uh. I really don't want any more of this. Would you take another shot? You see, what happens is you become accustomed to the good sometimes in life to the point that the good becomes distasteful. Thank you, Tom. Did you want... The Bible says the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. Have you become accustomed to all the good things of the Christian life to the point that that which was palatable and desirous at first now disinterests you? Have you heard the preaching of the sweet word of God so much that you're just not hungry for it anymore? I was preaching in Durham, North Carolina for a friend of mine, Dr. Rick Finley, and his mom had made me a pecan pie. I love pecan pie. Matter of fact, I love all pie. But his mom had made me a pecan pie, but I had to fly from Durham, North Carolina, all the way back up to Chicago when I would go home, and you know, the airports and everything. There's no way you can transport a pie. And so they gave me the pie. I took it to my hotel room and I had a piece of it, and it was really good. So I decided I should probably have another piece. I don't know how I did it, but before I went to sleep that night, I had eaten the whole pie. But I will tell you this, I loved it. It started out delicious. The last piece, I was just worried about the starving children in Ethiopia not wanting to waste it. I probably have 20 extra pounds on today because I can't stand to waste food. I'm always thinking, don't waste that. It costs money. But I'm telling you, my first piece of pecan pie made by Rick's mom, boy, my taste buds slapped my tonsils into next week and said, "That'd be good, baby." And I mean, it was good. But by the time I got to the end of that pecan pie, my mouth was saying, "Don't put any more of that in here." Same pie. Same pie. Have you heard the preaching of the Word of God so much that it no longer tastes good like it used to? Has it actually become bitter? Has the sweetness of that which is spiritual somehow become bitter because God's been so good to you? Have you eaten so much of the honey? Has God blessed you, America, so much that you'll turn your back on the God that made you what you are, and now you reject that which was what made you sweet in the first place? Some of you, you even say, "I've had about all this church stuff I can take. What happened to you?" The Bible says, Proverbs 27:7, the second part of the verse, it says, "But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." The exact opposite. The person who is hungry for one taste of honey would love a taste of honey. There's probably somebody out there that said, "Wow, Pastor, when I called Tom up here at first, I said, 'Tom, taste that.'" There's probably somebody that said, "I'd be willing to taste that." Oh, but it's obvious, though, you get enough of something good, before long, you think there's something wrong with something good. But there's not anything wrong with something good. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. Did you know that a person who is really hungry will meet, that they'll eat just about anything? Parents, can I tell you why kids tend to complain about food more than adults? Because they didn't have to work to provide it. Well, we know that's true. Every parent in here is saying, "All right, preacher, let them have it. I knew I was coming to church for a good reason today." Did you know that this is a concept I want you to learn? I have a doctor's degree. You're going to learn something today whether you like it or not. Do you know that work will make you hungry? That's good spiritual truth. Work will make you hungry. You know, and this is not always true, but it is true often. Picky eaters sometimes are not hard workers. No sweat, no toil. If you didn't have to work to get it, you complain more about what you got. And I know that's not good English, but it sure is good preaching. Hard workers' appetites are usually easier to please. Ladies, if you can't cook, marry a man that's a hard worker. He'll eat any slop you throw down in front of him. I'm trying to help you now. I'll tell you something. When I was growing up and we'd go out and bale hay, we'd start, my dad, you know, one of the guys I worked for would say, we're going to start early in the morning where it's cool because I don't want you to have to work into the heat of the day. I don't know what happened at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was the heat of the day and we were still baling hay. That's just a complaint from my past. But let me tell you something. If you went out and you baled hay for about 8 straight hours and Mama made you something to eat, you were hungry, you'd eat it. Matter of fact, you'd eat the napkin waiting to get to whatever it is she was going to give you. Y'all, I don't understand. Well, I do now that I'm a dad. We grew up and we had a wood burner at our house. We also had electric heat. We never got to use that electric heat much. My dad said, we got to cut wood to heat the house. We're all going to freeze to death. So we all thought we were all going to freeze to death. The minute the last one of us moved out, the axe got put away. So did the riding mower. I mean, and so did the push mowers, and the riding mower came out. But I can tell you something. One of the reasons why I was not a picky eater growing up is because my parents made sure I was hungry. You say, because they withheld? No, they worked me. America has all sorts of problems because America does not work. But, you know, you're going to find this out. Now, that concept that I just explained that you all say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Did you know, I think sometimes the hardest working people I know enjoy the simplest of things. I have a friend who is a multimillionaire who works. He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's in his mid-80s and he goes to bed very, very late at night and he likes cornbread. He could eat it all day long. He could eat anything he wants. He's satisfied with that simple thing. America could use a good dose of that. Getting back to the basics, if you will. But you know, some of the hardest people I know sometimes enjoy the simplest of things. I found this out. The hardest working people in the church enjoy some of the simplest things in the church. Brother Tyler works real hard. Loves his bus route. Anybody that knows Brother Tyler knows that. I never had Tyler come gripe to me about, he never says, you know, just never get anything out of the preaching. No, he comes in just starved to death and hungry.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Martha works very hard for our church and loves our church very much. She loved this church and worked hard for years. She doesn't go around griping and complaining about the things that are here. She just comes in hungry and ready to spiritually be fed and eat. Brother Young loves our church, works very, very hard. It just doesn't go around griping about all the little things. Not a finicky eater at all when it comes to the spiritual things of life. Matter of fact, if you want to know what's good in the community at fast food restaurants, you can ask Brother Young. He knows where it's at. Brother Ellswick, not a griper, not a complainer about the spiritual things around the church because he just gives so many hour after hour after hour to serving God. But I'm going to tell you something. Usually the people that put the least energy into a church are the biggest gripers. Now, see, when you put an energy into something, you really eat and enjoy. Hey, have you become accustomed to the good, spiritual, sweet things of life to the point where now it is bitter to you? Now, I don't have a lot of time, but I've got to make some application that will help you. Has your sweet salvation become bitter to you? Psalm 13:5, it says, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. There's some of you, you used to be very excited about the fact that you're saved. Can I tell you something? You're as saved today as what you were the day that you got saved. Matter of fact, sweeter gets a journey every day. And if you're a born-again Christian, it's better today than what it was back then. But there's some of you, it doesn't even matter to you that you're saved anymore. It's yours. You possess it. What do you care? Some of you, when you got saved as a child, you couldn't wait to get home and call Grandma and Grandpa. And your parents said, tell Grandma what happened today at church. And you kind of stumbled through it and said, Mama, me got saved. Me got saved, and Mama rejoiced with you. Could I tell you all something? You probably need to call Mama again and tell her, Mama, me still saved. Mama, me still going to heaven. Mama, Jesus is still working in my life. Mama, me not going to hell. Because there's some of you, you forgot what God did. You took a big old dose of salvation and took the sweetness in. But it's not sweet to you anymore. You don't even care. All you did was gripe all week long about all the things you didn't have, but you ought to be thankful you're not in hell. Amen. You say, well, what could I do to help that? Well, if you'd go out and work in regard to this thing called salvation, you might work up an appetite of appreciation. Say, how can I do that? Go tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. The work of salvation and soul winning. Secondly, and I have to hurry because Tom took so much time to gulp all my honey. Hey, has the sweetness of preaching become bitter to you? Romans 10:15, it talks about preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. You remember when you first started hearing preachers that were not afraid to preach? They weren't apologizing for everything all the time. They just got up and told the truth. You were thrilled. I'm amazed. Little children love my wildest, loudest, hottest sermons. They love them. And then people grow older and they don't like that sweetness anymore. As a new Christian, you were amazed and pleased. It was sweet. I wonder how many times we go and we hear preaching that is sincere and real and pleasing to God, and where they're not catering to a board or catering to a denomination or trying to be politically correct. Folks, we're to be biblically correct. When you heard that for the first time in somebody that was an old-time preacher that did it right and did it sincerely, you said, wow, that was refreshing. You probably didn't even like what they said to you in the sermon, but you said, somebody needs to say it. Somebody needs to say it like that. And you said, wow, that was good. Now, I've not even preached anything hard, but I've been loud and aggressive, and you're going, I can't wait till this is over. Started sweet, didn't it? Has that preaching changed? No, I wonder if it's not you and I that change. You used to listen to... I'm going to date us. You used to listen to preaching tapes. Now, some of you don't know what a tape is. And you used to listen to preaching CDs. You couldn't get enough. You get in your car and pop that tape in. You don't do that anymore, do you? Because you got too much of it. You didn't need it anymore. You used to attend every church service sitting on the edge of your seat because of what God was going to do. Now, you could not get a faithfulness star for 1 month of your life. Why? The goodness of God somehow got changed in your perception. Oh, the goodness of God is as powerful as ever. The preaching of God is as powerful as ever. Your salvation is as powerful as ever. There's some of you, you're miserable from the walk of the parking lot into the church building. Here we go. You ought to go back to church. Little David Owens. Mike and Amber had parked their van to unload. David got loose. Man, I'm out there and he is running to beat the band. And I got alongside him. I said, David, I am so glad you're excited to be at church. If you ever seen him come in, man, he's coming. And you're not stopping him. You know what, Amber? I hope 25 years from now, little David is still running for the front door. And he's still excited about God. And he's still excited about church. And he's still excited about soul winning. And he's still excited about those things. Or will one of you get a hold of him and calm him down? Maybe he'll be like you. Where God has to have a crowbar to get you to come to church. Has the sweetness of church become bitter? The Bible says in Psalm 122, verse number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When you first got saved, you loved church. Some of you remember, you loved, hey, if you were young enough, you loved primary church. And then you loved junior church. And Brother Young, there are those kids that can't wait to leave your church service back there with the kids and come to big church. That's what they call it. I don't know what they're saying about us adults, but it's called big church. Well, I'll tell you something. If you're not careful, there's no way to promote from big church. I mean, where are we going to put you? You better figure out have you lost that sweetness, that joy, that excitement? Now, remember, I think one of the best philosophies and approaches in the world to church, it's not that we have to go. It's that we get together. We get to be here. Oh, but it's become old hat and boring and unimportant. I'm going to tell you something, you're going to get mad at me. You stay home and listen to preaching on the radio or you watch it on television, that does not take the place of a New Testament church. An ecclesia is a called out assembly where you leave where you're at and you meet with a group of people physically. I know there's some of you going to say, well, I don't like you. It was all sweet to you until I just got on you. You have it. Have you had it sweet so long that it's not sweet anymore? You know, I feel so rushed, but I'm going to make a couple more applications. I think good homes can be the same way. Good home. Have you had the privilege of living in a sweet Christian home with a mom, a dad, or a parent? That believe the Bible, wanted God in our house, taken to church. Boy, that's sweet. That is so sweet. Let me tell you something, you children that have that privilege and you look at it, and like little David, he likes coming to church. Let me warn you, there's some of you are teenagers now. Were you, when you were younger, it was sweet and you loved church and you loved children's church and you loved all that. What happened to you, teenager? Has God changed? No, God's not changed. Something changed about you. Listen, you know, a family who tries to serve God together, folks, don't you let that become bitter. That's sweet. And you get the chance to, there's nothing like being able to sit in church and look over and see, look, there's mom, or there's dad, or there's my son, or there's my daughter, there's my son-in-law, there's my daughter-in-law, there's my grandma, there's my grandpa. Look, we're in church! But if you're not careful, that which is sweet can become bitter. I'm just tired of this. How could you be tired of the sweetness of God? How could you and I be tired of the right kind of a church? And how could we be tired of salvation? And how could we be tired of it? How could that be? I don't know. Ask Brother Tom. First taste was good. But after he guzzled down about a fourth of that bottle of honey, he really didn't want any more. But the honey had not changed. Tom got so full of the sweet. I'm going to warn you all of something. There are people in here, you got some pretty good jobs. You wanted the job, you needed the job, you're going to get paid for the job, and when you got the job, you were thrilled. Now you hate it. You say, how could I like it more? Maybe I ought to work harder at work. People hate that in this day and age. How dare anyone tell me to work harder? I'll go to my union steward. Well, I don't know him and I don't care about him. I have a union steward myself. His name's God. Take it up with him. Laziness has destroyed America. We can't find anybody to take the job. It doesn't pay enough. So we'll just stay on welfare. I have a problem with that. Did you know that a good husband and wife can be the same way? You wanted them so bad at first. You loved her eyes. You loved her hair color. All of them. He was tall, dark, and handsome. Now, you loathe what you once lusted. The human race has a tendency to want it. Once they get it, they don't want it anymore. You say, well, what do you do? Work up an appetite for your mate. You say, how? Work real hard for them. Serve them. Please them. Hey, what's your ministry? Sunday school teacher? Bus captain? Whatever it is. You loved it at first, didn't you? Now, you don't want to do it anymore. And if it's a ministry here at our church, it is probably better now than what it was a year ago when we started, or 2 years, because we're always working to make things better. But it's not whether it's better or not. It's that your taste buds have become bitter. I'll recommend something to you. I'll shut up and be done. I'd keep yourself hungry for God. You know, you fill yourself up with the sweet things of God. You're going to have to work spiritually to keep an appetite for those sweet things. You say, I used to enjoy it more. God's not changed. The Bible's not changed. It's you and I. This is how it works. You take in because you're hungry. You work and burn up the energy. It goes out. You take in. You work, put out the energy. Folks, that's a Christian life too. Again, Dave Steve, one of the hardest working men you'll ever meet. I've never had David come to me and say, Pastor, I just hate this about our church. I'm just so unsatisfied. Anybody knows that guy? He hits a floor running every day of his life, no matter what he does, and especially when it's something spiritual. I wish you could sit in on a deacon's meeting. And they just, let's go do something. Let's go do something. Come on. Let's make it happen. He doesn't sit around and say, I just hate this. I just hate that. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. You know what? We could paint this auditorium just about any color in the world. David would say, that's fine with me. Let's just have church. But you know, you have all this extra energy. You got to use it some way, so you use it with your mouth. You feed the critical nature in your flesh. You say, what do you think I'll do? Once you get busy spiritually, you burn up some of that trash out of your system. Because the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. But did you hear what it said? It said, but to the hungry soul, even bitter things are sweet. You see, here's somebody that they just being receive. Hey, folks, receiving will not make you happy. Giving makes you happy. And so, you heard it. That which was sweet became bitter. And I would say that somehow, somewhere in this building, somebody could look at some part of your life and say, you know what? I used to love it. And I don't anymore. I probably would not look to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, to the things of God as the culprit. You might want to take a good long look at your own spiritual taste buds and see if the problem isn't you instead of it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I welcome you to the Savior. If you need to be saved, we want to take a Bible and we'll show you how to be born again. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved? I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Anyone like that? All right. Then may I ask, would there be somebody under the sound of my voice and say, you know, preacher, boy, that scripture just came alive to me this morning. I guess there are some things that used to be sweeter to me than what they are now. And I would like them to be sweet again. I think I need to put some more spiritual energy into my service to God so I'm more hungry for those sweet things. And God has spoken to my heart this morning concerning it. There are hands up already. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hand down. We're going to have a brief altar call. If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. If you need the altar, you come. Let me warn you. You say, well, I don't look forward to homecoming, and I don't look forward to the parking lot being full, and I don't look forward to Sunday school classes being overwhelming. I really don't look forward to that. I wonder why. How hard will you work toward it? The biggest gripers are usually the smallest producers. Check in America who your biggest gripers are about the food they eat. Most of it's the people that didn't work a lick to get it. When you do no work and you can get higher quality food available to you than what I can get while I work, but I like mine and you don't like yours, I guess there's a problem, isn't there? Hey, you go to most factories and find the guy that's doing the biggest complaining is usually one of the littlest producers. More breaks, more time off, more benefits, more money. And I'm saying more work. And sometimes your hardest workers can be some of the easiest to please. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. Someone that's hungry, even the bitter can become sweet. One more time through the song. In a moment, we'll be on our way. I promise you, we've got people that attend to our buildings, attend to our grounds. They don't go around griping. They put so much energy into them that somebody that never come out and pull a weed will gripe about the grounds. You can have a seat there. If you look at me for just a second, I want to make an application real quickly, and we have some folks that have been saved. I was in Bible college, and when I was a very young man, I lived in the dormitories, and I've been taught to work hard all my life. I'd get up in the morning and I would go to classes, and I'd go to classes up until the afternoon. I would have an hour and a half or so, and then I would have to drive to work, and then I would go to work for 8 hours, and I'd drive an hour and a half home, and I would average about 3.5 to 4 hours sleep a night. I'd do that through the week because that was the lightest part of my schedule. Then Saturday and Sunday would hit when I would really get involved, because I did not go there just to work a job. I went there to be trained in my church so that I could succeed for God. I remember one night I'd gotten home and I had a sack lunch that was made available to me, and I forgot mine, and I was so hungry I couldn't stand it. I thought I was going to die. Y'all, men, you men understand me, right? Come on, you understand me. Well, I had bought a bag of popcorn about 4 days before down at the place called Peddler's Way, and I had some popcorn available to me. And I'd folded the top over on it and put it in my back seat. So I'd been through 4 days, heat, everything. So I'm sitting in my car, I'm about ready to cry, because I'm thinking, man, I'm working. I don't have any money. I'm a poor college student. I need something to eat. There's no place to get anything to eat. And I looked back there, and there was that bag of popcorn. Do you know it was stale? It was 4 days old But to this very day, I remember how delicious. It was so delicious. But I had used up every ounce of energy, and I needed nutrition. I tell you all something, folks. If you'd work and work and work for God, some of you would find yourself much more pleased with what God gives you. Because you've used up all the energy He gave. And the reason why some of you are spoiled about the food that spiritually is made available to you is you've not worked off the sweetness of the blessing by investing back into God.